This is number two in the addicted society. We look around the world now, especially those of us who are in our senior years, we are aghast at what is happening and taking place. And yet, in the process of time, this country has been brought down to a level of evil that is permeating the whole society and permeating the whole world, and truly fulfills what Revelation 12:9 says, that Satan is deceiving the whole world. Now, let's come here to Proverbs 1, and I want to talk a little bit about what happens to a society and why it is so pervasive. Proverbs 1 and verse 20, wisdom cries without, she utters her voice in the street. Now, what does this mean? Wisdom cries out. What happens to a society when there is no wisdom? You can go back and you can read the history of America and how it was founded on biblical principles in the main. And yet the Achilles heel which killed the whole thing was Sunday. And you read what they were teaching concerning the rest of the commandments of God. They made people learn them. They taught children to learn them. And what happens when that takes place? What happens to a society when that takes place? Let's come here to Proverbs 14 and verse 38. Because, see, God blesses anyone, whether in the letter of the law or the spirit of the law, obeys him. And we will see that God judges nations. And then we will see what happens to other people who go along and get along. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. But what happens to people, we'll see a little later, when they get along and go along and allow all of these things to take place. 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. And this is a truism. You take the commandments of God, which are righteousness, and you evaluate any nation or society. The closer they are to the laws of God and keeping them as the laws of the land, the greater the nation is, the more prosperous the nation is, the lower the crime rate, the lower the rate of infidelity and homosexuality, thievery, disobedience to parents, etc. They are all lower. And it is a society then that is what you would call righteous. And I'm sure there were times in American history when we came fairly close to that. Now notice the other half. And this is what's important concerning the book of Proverbs. Because you see, as we'll understand later, the only way to separate thinking, good thinking from stinking thinking, is to study the Proverbs. Because the Proverbs tell us right from wrong, good from evil, all the way through. Now it says the second half of this, but sin is a reproach to any people, and the margin says to nations. So when a nation comes to a point, that it goes against God, that it goes against the truth of God, then they're going to find themselves in grave and terrible trouble. Let's come here to the book of Psalms, Psalm 7. And let's see what happens, because we are going to understand that this wickedness comes from the very leaders who are supposed to keep the nation righteous. come to Psalm 7. Psalm 7 and verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, so there is a division. Even in the midst of all the things that are going on, God still can separate his people. For the righteous God tries the reins and the hearts. That's important we understand. Every human being is being judged by God by their behavior. That's how he does it. Now verse 11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Well, let's come over here to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. And here's what's happened. When those who don't believe in God control education, government, law, then you have what we have in America today. And it all rests. There was quite a really good documentary on Fox News, and it was Church and State. And it showed how that this nation went down the tubes when the Supreme Court began getting rid of God. That's when it went down. Followed quickly on the heels, you see, because Satan has a plan. And when they had the Scopes trial to get rid of teaching of God in and about creation in the classroom, now they can't get rid of it. Parents cannot even have a four-paragraph intelligent design read to the students on the first day of biology class, only once. See, because the ones who have done this are those who cannot allow God in their thoughts. Question was asked. Recent poll says up to 94% of people believe in God. How is it that 6% can cause such distress? Well, the truth is, the way they believe in God is far different from the way that God says they ought to believe in him. See, and always remember this. James says, you believe there's one God, you do well. The demons do and tremble. See, so you know, how do you believe in God? See, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. That's the difference. Now, Psalm 14. Here's why. Because in that special that they ran, Church and State, I'm sure they're going to run it again probably on Sunday is when they ran it. It comes down where we are now that the atheists are really controlling everything that is done. And one of the most fatal judgments made was by Sandra Day O'Connor in the opinion that she wrote, which said that in the expression of religion, if it offends someone, it should not be allowed. And that's where we are on all of this, all the flap that's going on. But you see, there is a real spiritual warfare going on. All right, Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so what do? They get attractive, good-looking spokeswomen and men, with the exception of Newdow, and say, I don't believe in God and I'm normal. And so people being tolerant say, well, why should I be critical? And the reason they make that judgment is because they can't discern the difference between truth and error, and they cannot be willing to bring a judgment against someone attractive that is to bring a negative or condemning judgment against them. And Satan knows that. But God says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. Now God is seeing all of this going on. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now, Jesus made a statement, and I'll bring a sermon on this a little bit later in relationship to the church, which is, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't think that was in reference to the world. That has got to be in reference to the church, and what we are seeing more and more and more is that people want to bring the world into the church, and that's what they've done with Protestantism, and Protestantism is going down the tubes fast. And they want to compromise with the world. They want to get as close to the world as they can and still be accepted of God. Now, if that isn't pure Laodicean thinking, I don't know what is. But God says here, verse 3, they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon God? So that's what they're doing. Now, turn back just one page, Psalm 9. Psalm 9 and verse 17. Pick it up here in verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. Now, we'll see what he's going to do here in just a little bit. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And then there are a couple of Hebrew words there at the end of it. Then verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's what's happening. This nation is forgetting God. We will see that a little bit more here. Why is that? And how does it come to this? And where are we headed with it? Now let's understand what the warfare is. Come back here to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians 6. We're going to understand how this comes about. And we're going to see how it's taking place today, right in front of our eyes. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Let's go back to verse 10, because we need to also understand this and really realize, more importantly, how much we have to do this every day. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that's the only sanity, that's the only way out. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he is clever and slick and promotional, as I have read several excerpts, and I'll read some more out of the book, The Marketing of Evil by David Kupelian. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does that mean? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, that means we've already seen how it is with the Supreme Court. We've already seen how it is with religion. But let's look at something here that's important for us to understand and important for us to realize what is taking place. Now, as we know about Babylon the Great, remember, there is an economic aspect, business and economy, with Babylon the Great. There is religion, there is government, there is, on page 57, it's called A Quiet American Revolution. Okay, page 57. Common sense provides ample proof to a rational person that the First Amendment's religious clause couldn't mean what the ACLU and many of today's judges say it means, since there is simply no evidence of it in history. Anti-Christian Liberation Union. That's what it is. Let's come over here to page 58. We are deluding ourselves into believing that there is some neutral ground between good and evil. And this is why the book of Proverbs is so important to get straightened out in an addictive society. You have to have right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. And that this is where the government is supposed to be. But such a neutral ground, if such could ever said to exist, is in itself neutral. Well, let's come over here to chapter 3. Chapter 3, the killer culture. Who's selling sex and rebellion to your children? Here's the aspect of it that has, the stage has been set by the elimination of God and by the problems that we have in education. And it's coming right into the churches, as we'll see here in just a bit. Merchants of Cool, page 64. They want to be cool, they are impressionable, and they have the cash. And we might put there, and very little, if any, parental supervision. They are corporate America's $150 billion dream. That's the opening statement in PBC's stunning 201 Frontline documentary, The Merchants of Cool, narrated by author and media critic Douglas Rushoff. What emerges in the following 60 minutes is a scandalous portrayal of how major corporations, now listen, Viacom, Disney, AOL, Time Warner, and others study Americans' children like laboratory rats in order to sell them billions of dollars in merchandise by tempting, degrading, and corrupting them. Think it's a bit of an overstatement? It's an understatement. And you can see what has happened. Now, here's what the problem is. When we've got a few gigantic transnational corporations, each one loaded down with debt, competing madly for as much shelf space and brain space as they can take, they're going to do whatever they think works the fastest and with the most people, which means that they will drag standards down. And this is what has happened. It's a blizzard of brands all competing for the same kids. To win teens' loyalties, marketers believe they have to speak their language the best, so they study them carefully as an anthropologist would an exotic native culture. Today, Rushkoff discloses, five enormous corporations are responsible for selling nearly all of the youth culture. These are truly merchants of cool. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Though he owns Fox News, which you'd think most people do, is fair and balanced and good news, he also has a stake in MTV. Disney, Viacom, Universal, Vivendi, AOL, Time Warner. The documentary demonstrates how big corporations literally send spies to infiltrate young people's social settings to gather intelligence on what they can induce these children to buy next. Now, as I read this next, I want you to understand that today, the most dangerous thing you can allow your children to do is watch MTV. And the major sitcoms on the major television networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, UPS, and so forth. Now, another thing. These entertainment corporations, as we will see, control all the music that is put out. And music is the most devastating and most controlling factor that captures the mind of children. And they are designed to make them rebellious, turn them away from their parents, cause them to not believe in God, get them involved in sex and promiscuity and drugs as a normal behavior. Now, continuing what he writes here, the entertainment companies, which are a handful of massive conglomerates that own four of the five music companies that sell 90% of the music in the United States. Wonder why you can't get any good music anymore? That's why. These same companies also own all the film studios, all the major TV networks, all the television stations, pretty much in the largest 10 markets. They own all or part of every single commercial cable channel. And to show you how they make their money, they tie MTV together, they bunch it with four channels on the cable. And they have it like with Discovery or History, and they bunch it together with those, and one more, I forget what the other is. And in order to get the ones you want, you have to buy MTV. So what they say, well, we can block it. Okay, then block it. But what happens? Even though it's blocked, when I pay my cable television bill, a certain portion goes to MTV. Here's what they do. They look at the teen market as part of the massive empire that they're colonizing. MTV, what about cable channel? That portion itself is champion of today's teens and preteens, champions of their music, their rebellious free spirit, and their genuine, if ever-changing, notions of what is cool. Whatever else MTV might be, at least it's interested in kids, right? Sure. Just like a lion is interested in the gazelle. Everything on MTV is a commercial. That's all that MTV is. Sometimes it's an explicit advertisement paid for by a company to sell a product. Sometimes it's going to be a video for a music company there to sell music. Sometimes it's going to be the set that is filled with trendy clothes and stuff there to sell a look that will include products on that set. Sometimes it will show about an upcoming movie paid for by the studio, though you don't know it, to hype a movie that's coming out from Hollywood. But everything's an infomercial, and there is no non-commercial part of MTV. That's what they're doing to the kids. So this is how they make the addicted society. Just like a drug pusher, they are standing on the corner giving out free drugs, and then come back and we'll give you some very cheap. And also the laws on the side of the kids that parents can't keep control of what goes on in kids' rooms, so they lock themselves in there and they have their porn, they have their sex, they have their drugs, they have their MTV, they have their cell phones, they have all of this sort of thing. You know, as I said before, the generation that is now is the generation of Matthew 24, and it is building itself for a slaughter. You can understand why God is going to absolutely wipe the face of the earth, and why there are going to be dead bodies strewn from one end of the horizon to the other end of the horizon because of what this generation is doing right now. And we'll see how that happened before. Okay. For example, he talks about the midriff. You talk about teens running around showing their midriff. Where did it first start? And how did such a thing happen? It started on MTV. And now women are involved in it as well as teens because it's the cool thing to do. Now, let me read you about this one music group that's on, that is captivating every, see, they keep changing so they can captivate them. Isn't it interesting? Captivating. Now, if you are whatever you are captivated by, you are addicted. And if you're captivated by something, it occupies your mind. And whatever occupies your mind is what you are. Now, here's a new group out called Insane Clown Posse. That's a music group. Everybody likes our music because it makes them have a super connection. When they listen to it, the last sentence there, you feel like you're the only one that knows about it. That's on page 69. These are extremes to which teenagers are willing to go to ensure the authenticity of their scene. It's the front line of teen cultural resistance, become so crude, so intolerable, break so many rules that you become indigestible. Amazing, isn't it? No limits. That's where it's coming to. Everything. No limits on anything. Remember they kicked Howard Stern off one of the radio stations, fined them a great fine. So what did they do? Now they're going to have satellite radio on Sirius, which is the name of the channel. And he can say anything, do anything, and even Bill O'Reilly interviewed him on Fox News, and he virtually told Bill O'Reilly, I'm going to be gross, evil, and as pornographic as I can. And he said that at 5 years old, he had a dream that he would do this. Whose agent gave the dream? Now we're into no limits. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way they do. Guess what? Let's come over here to page 71. Those Hollywood depictions of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we'll talk about Sodom and Gomorrah here in just a minute, don't even begin to capture the shocking reality of what's going on in America's culture today. They're not even close. First of all, there's sex. Very simply, there seems to be neither boundaries nor taboos anymore when it comes to sex. Anything goes, from heterosexual, homosexual, bi, trans, poly, and you don't want to know about sexual experiments. It gets into bestiality and things like this on an open basis, and they cannot even convict people in the law of the land for bestiality anymore. Sex has become a ubiquitous, cheap, meaningless quest for ever greater thrills. Moreover, with the evolution of online pornography, every type of sexual experience has literally been shoved down the noses of millions of Americans against their will. I will have to say, with their will. Then it talks about body piercing. It talks about other things. It talks about, and then they get to the extremes. Those who are going out were called bug chasers, and what do? Those are young men seeking out other men who have HIV and AIDS to have sexual relations with them so they can receive the disease. Now let's come to Isaiah, the third chapter. Let's see who's to blame in this. Everyone is to blame. And then we will see what happens when everyone is to blame. One place there in Jeremiah, God said there is no truth. So when we get to the point that there is no longer any truth and we are getting closer and closer and closer to it, see, now you understand why there are such abominable translations of the Bible out there to mock God, to mock the Word of God, to get rid of the Word of God. And in America, it all started when they did not keep the Sabbath with the rest of the Ten Commandments, that left the door open. Now, that may sound a little extreme, but that is true. Because you may know about God, you may have principles concerning the word of God, which you live by. But you do not know God, and you are not sanctified by God unless you keep his Sabbath. He says so. Exodus 31. God says so. So here's what happens. Isaiah 3. And this is going to happen to us. For behold, let's begin right here in verse 1. The Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Now, as we're reading this, let's understand that it did happen. When we're reading this, let's understand that these are part of the punishments that God brings because of sin. Notice who it affects. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable men, the counselor and the cunning artifactor and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And we're going to see they are corrupt, they are degenerate, they are satanic. And that's what's happening. And the people shall be oppressed. No, verse 4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. You don't know who your neighbor is. You don't know what the kids are like. You try and be nice with them. And like happened in one case, a 10-year-old boy, and it was a 14-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And she came over to their house, and they became friends. And then she went into the boy's bedroom, and lo and behold, he had his own computer with a big sign to the parents, keep out. And, of course, the court will uphold that as private property for the children against the parents. And he was involved in porn and all kinds of stuff, and he got involved with the 8-year-old girl, killed her, didn't know what to do with her, stuffed her body between the mattress and the box springs, and wasn't discovered until the body started stinking and they had to find out what was going on. You can't even trust your neighbor, just like it says here, oppressed. Now notice, the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Here just recently, a bus driver, because of the yakking of one children, put some tape over the mouth of the child to keep it quiet, and he was reprimanded and moved to a different job. And the base against the honorable. And it's going to get so bad. Now come down here to verse 9. The show of their countenance does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And that's exactly what it is in the society. Now here's one little verse, verse 10, to give you hope about your life. Say unto the righteous that it will be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings, that is, of righteousness and love and obedience toward God. Woe to the wicked, shall be evil with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. And we're going to see, whatever you are addicted to, you're going to receive. As for my people, children are their oppressors, women rule over them. Combined with women, and every writer, just as this writer here, The Marketing of Evil, shows that the degradation of the family began when women demanded equal rights. Now it has gone, and it was equal political rights. Then it became equal working rights. Then it became equal sexual rights. Then it became, we want all of men's rights as well as all women's rights, and men have none. And that's where we are. And notice, my people, O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. And it's been planned, calculated, inspired by Satan the devil and his Babylon corporations of the world. It is intended to get us addicted. It is intended to tear us down. It is intended to make the nation immoral and corrupt and debased. And according to the doctrine of Balaam, to sell them to sin so that God must judge them and destroy them. And yea, it is going to happen. Without a doubt. Verse 13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge his people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for they have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor in your houses. And it says, what mean you that beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord of hosts. Then it talks about what the daughters of Zion do and what they have done. And it's going to come just exactly as he says here. Moreover, verse 16, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. Watch. All you have to do, when you go through the checkout stand, look at the haughty faces of all the women on these magazines designed to keep all women brainwashed into the foolishness of the feminist movement and promotion of homosexuality and lesbianism. And the fashion's designs. Now notice, are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks with wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, having ornaments and things like this. Therefore, the Lord will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts and make them naked in public. And we go full circle to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, Lot should have moved. Look at how disjointed and dysfunctional his family was. When it came time to go, he told his sons they didn't want to go. They probably said, well, this is cool, you know. We understand this. We're not affected by it. We can keep it away from us. We'll be fine. And what happened? They died with it. They died with the destruction. And even Lot's wife didn't believe. She had to turn around and look when she was told, don't turn around and look. Turn to a pillar of salt. And even Josephus says that the tourists come and view that pillar of salt to this day. Amazing, isn't it? Let's see how God does this. Now, let's come back here to Jeremiah 18. Now, I know we have seen this before, but let's look at it again. Jeremiah 18. In verse 7, comment was made, and then Lot's daughters felt free to molest their own dad, and so we have Moab and Ammon. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 7, at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto it. Or at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And that's exactly what has happened here in America over the last 200 years. Now, verse 11. Now, therefore, go speak to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return now every one from his evil way. Make your ways and your doings good. So that's their responsibility. For any addict to say, oh, I'm helpless and can't stop it, you're kidding yourself. You don't want to change. And all the misery you go through hasn't convinced you you ought to change. It is your responsibility to change. And they said, there's no hope. We'll walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. And we're just about there again, aren't we? Yes, indeed. So God is going to judge, not only in individual lives. But you see, what happens when people get to this point? instead of, as we started, there being wisdom in the street, and let's put it this way, you are under two authorities, authority of God or the authority of Satan, and if you put yourself under the authority of God, there's going to be wisdom. There's going to be a spirit of wisdom. So we're talking about the spirit that is permeated in a society because of righteousness or because of sin. Now, the more sin and the more people give themselves over to Satan, the more demons that are allowed to come to control. And so you have, as we read last week, the spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of addiction, rather than the spirit which comes from righteousness. So God's spirit is not devoid in the world. And where there is a group of people that do righteousness and do what God wants, they have a spirit of doing right. So when you have it permeating of evil, more and more evil comes and more demons are let loose to control. Now, I want you to think about, let's go back to some of the other things that I have given in the past years. When was the first parliament of religions of the world? 1893. When was the challenge concerning Sabbath and Sunday between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants? 1893. So you reread Rome's challenge to the Protestants. And like I said, keeping Sunday was the key that opened the door to evil. Now, when they had this great witness in 1893 and they rejected it, when did we start coming apart as a nation? Right about that time, step by step by step by step.